Hello, everybody. This is the Monday Night Pod. Tyler Fenske. Tonight, we're going to be continuing our study in Psalm 56, really focusing here on verse 8. It says, "Record my lament, list my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record?"
Yeah, we had 3 points off of each section of that verse. Tonight, the first one being just record my lament, talking about when it comes to prayer, the first step, the most important step, is that you do pray. You know, in Matthew 6, Jesus says, when you pray, right? So there's an assumption there that you are going to be in prayer. You have a relationship prayer life with the Lord.
Yeah, and I think the consistency with that, one, like you said, a lot of prayer is listening, right? And when you have that give and take relationship, you know, that's true in every relationship, but even more so with the Lord, it's like to have that consistency, to have that trust, to have that, you know, just communion to where there's that give take, there's that listening, there's that just respect overall. You know, you're there. I think that, you know, becomes a safe space, you know, at least it has for me, you know, and it's a space where no matter what's going on, no matter who's in your life, you know, you can always go to the Lord, and it kind of perpetuates where it's like the more you do that, the more it gets reinforced and the easier it becomes. I think the biggest hurdle is people are either too afraid to go to the Lord. They don't have the right perspective on the character of God, or, you know, maybe they're too afraid of the silence that can come initially, you know? And I think, you know, if you can just get over that initial boundary and develop some consistency, you'll really see the payoff and the benefit of it.
I mean, just a couple of weeks ago, we were talking about the importance of reading your Bible, quiet times. Mm-hmm. Huge aspect of that is prayer.
Yeah.
You know, and making sure that you have that consistent prayer time. And that's the first thing tonight, is just record my lament, that you are praying. You do have that relationship prayer life with the Lord, that you're consistently doing that. You're bringing things to God in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times we're bringing stuff to other people, or we're bringing it to social media. You know, people use social media like as their diary now.
Mm.
But we're not bringing it to the Lord, right? Mm-hmm. There just has to be that consistent prayer time. So that was the first thing, was record my lament. The second thing was where he says to list my tears on your scroll. So record my lament, list my tears on your scroll. This was more of a point that we went into depth tonight, but we went through this out of 2 Kings 20. Where in verse 1 it says, "In those days Hezekiah became ill and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, said that son of Amos, went to him and said, 'This is what the Lord says. Put your house in order, because you are going to die. You will not recover.'" So he's dying.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets told by the Lord, "You are going to die." So it sounds like you're really going to die, right? You are in the process of dying. And the Lord says, "You are going to die. You're going to die." But it says here in verse 2, it says he turned his face to the wall.
Mm.
We didn't have time to go over that tonight, but he turned his face to the wall. The same, to me, just evoking the same thing that you see Elijah do. Where when he's praying for it, yeah, he puts his head between his knees.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right there, you're getting an insight just into prayer, that it's like, you are blocking everything else out. There's no noise. There's no distraction. It's just you and God. Putting the blinders on, he turns his face to the wall. Elijah put his head between his knees. Right? And it says, and he prayed to the Lord, "Remember, O Lord, how I've walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, have done what is good in your eyes." And Hezekiah wept bitterly.
Mm.
That weeping bitterly, when you go to 1 Samuel 1 with the story of Hannah, and it says that she was barren. It says in verse 10, "In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. And her prayer is then answered." Also with Josiah in 2 Kings 22, the Lord even says there, and that's just a couple chapters past what we're reading tonight, but it says, "Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord, when you heard what I've spoken against this place and this people, that they would become cursed and laid waste. And because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I have heard you, declares the Lord." So an aspect of just emotional prayer, right? And it's incredible to read this because it says, remember, he's dying. And the Lord says, you are going to die. But he turns his face to the wall and he prays and he weeps bitterly. Then it says in verse 4, before Isaiah had left the middle court, so just a few minutes later, the word of the Lord came to him, go back and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people. This is what the Lord, the God of your father David says, I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I have heard your prayer and seen your tears. I will heal you. On the third day from now, you will go up to the temple of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life. So the only thing that happens between you are going to die and I will add 15 years to your life is this emotional prayer. Like we talked about tonight, it's, you know, God being a God of emotion. It's, as it says in Hebrews, you know, he sympathizes with us, right? But you see God's emotions throughout Scripture where it says, you know, Lord was angry, Lord was very angry, the joy of the Lord, so God can be joyful. God was pleased by this, right? So God's emotions, but it's he sympathizes with us. So when Hezekiah is weeping bitterly, and what we read about Hannah as well, and bitterness of soul, it's like God sympathizes with that. You know?
Yeah. God's not far away.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that, you know, because you can't see God or, you know, because, you know, just in this realm, you know, as if he's so far away and he can't be heard. It's like when you bring up the aspect of how quick he answered, it's like the Lord is with you in real time. And what an encouragement that is. And what an encouragement it is that, like you said in Hebrews, he can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. He can sympathize with us, right? We do have a high priest that knows what it's like to be human, right? And how much more can we be intimate with him because of that, right? And what a blessing that is. You know, like you said, Hannah poured out her heart. A broken and contrite heart, oh Lord, you will not deny. You know, the Lord is touched by what moves you. And the Lord says, hey, draw near to me, and then I will draw near to you. So it's like if you can just demonstrate, one, that you have the faith that he's there and he's listening and he can move in real time. You know, Hezekiah's first response is to turn to the wall. It's I hear this word. My first response is to turn to the wall because I know it's the Lord who ultimately will do something for me. And just that demonstration of faith, I will say for myself, the most powerful times I've seen the Lord move in my life is followed by, like he says with Hannah, just pouring out my soul. The Lord is moved by that. The Lord loves you. The Lord is a good father. I think so many times we deal with human beings. In human beings, we are made in the image of God. So there are some natural good things about us. More often than not so much. Human beings are fallen. We are not perfect. Bible says that no one does what is good, right? You can't compare God. You can't view God the way you view the human beings you deal with on a daily basis. The Lord is perfect. He's the perfect father. And yeah, he isn't far. All you have to do is just be humble enough, like Hezekiah was, to go with him. And he's the safe space for your emotions. And he will move by your emotions, right?
Yeah. Psalm 103 says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. I love that verse 14 here, for he knows how we are formed, he remembers that we are dust. He doesn't hold us to an impossible standard. You know, as it says in 1 John, his commands are not burdensome, but he remembers that we are dust, so it's like he understands where we came from, and he's been in our shoes, and he's sympathizing with us, and just the power that comes with this prayer of him weeping bitterly. But the second part of this here, with our third point, so back to Psalm 56, it says, you know, list the tears. Mm-hmm. Are they not in your record? Well, that's interesting because that's literally what Hezekiah gives God as his resume here, where he says, remember, O Lord, how I have walked before you faithfully and with wholehearted devotion, and have done what is good in your eyes. So I've walked before you faithfully. So while others were falling off, I stayed with it. Mm-hmm. And with wholehearted devotion. So I wasn't 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I wasn't wishy-washy. I wasn't lukewarm. I was wholeheartedly devoted. And these things are accurate. We know that from how the Bible describes Hezekiah, that there was no king like him when it came to following the Lord. So these things are true. What he's saying here, he was walking faithfully and with wholehearted devotion. And have done what is good in your eyes. So while other people were being disobedient, he was following God in obedience. He literally gives God his resume here, right? And this isn't an isolated thing. You know, you can see it in Daniel 9:23, where Daniel prays. You know, if you're listening at home, and you can flip that real quick. So in 9:23, an angel Gabriel is sent to Daniel, and Gabriel says, as soon as you began to pray, an answer was given, which I've come to tell you. So as soon as you began praying, you're going to get an answer, right? An answer right away for you. And an angel's being sent to tell you it. Why? For you are highly esteemed. For because of his standing in the kingdom of God, answer was quickly given, sent by an angel because he was highly esteemed. Right? So this was a good move here by Hezekiah to give his resume. You see the other side of this, Psalm 66, cherishing sin in your heart. Your prayers will not be answered. Okay, Isaiah 1 says, you know, because of the sins that they're doing, even if you offer many prayers, I will not hear them. Right? So there's certainly an aspect of, according to the cleanness of my hands, Psalm 18, he has rewarded me. So Hezekiah gives him his resume, and the Lord then gives his response of he's going to heal him and add 15 years to his life.
Yeah, when I read, and have done what is good in your eyes, I read he genuinely loved the Lord, right? Because like 1 John says, or like the word says, if you love me, you will what? Obey my commands.
Obey my commands.
Right? So to say that I have done what is good in your eyes, it's like, I've lived in integrity. I have loved you. I have obeyed your precepts, right? Mm-hmm. And I think one of the most powerful things is, one, yeah, pray often. Have a genuine, consistent prayer relationship. Pray with emotion. But also, if you can, you know, quote scripture and say, Lord, this is your word, and I have followed it, and this is what your word says, that the righteous will never be forsaken. Right, I am righteous through Jesus Christ. Your word says that if you do this, this will happen. Right, it's not like you're testing the Lord through it, but you're just, hey, this is your word, this is truth, and I believe it, and I love you, and I have so much faith that I'm going to follow it. And why wouldn't the Lord respond to that? Right, and so you know that can be a sobering word if you hear that. It's like, okay, what is my resume, and am I following the Lord wholeheartedly? Am I being completely faithful? And am I demonstrating faith? Am I picking up my cross daily? It's not easy, and every single one of us will fall, but are you willing and are you humble enough to get back up? Right? Do you still trust in the Lord? You know, do you do what is good in his eyes?
Yeah.
Right? And just one, I think you have to have faith to get to that point. You know, it all starts with faith. But two, just that consistency and, you know, day in, day out seeking the Lord like that. It's a good motivator. It's a sobering word, you know, to know that if I do cherish sin and if I do get in that cycle, a lot of that access is just cut off. I'm not under grace. That's a scary place to be. And if you've tasted of the Lord's goodness and you've seen his hand in your life, that's like it. This is just me speaking. I don't know if I want to be on earth anymore. You know, I'd almost like rather him just take me, you know, because I need that access. Lord, without you, I am nothing, right? He must increase, I must decrease. So that's such a great word and a great reminder. You know, walk faithfully, do what's right in his eyes, demonstrate faith, update your resume, you know, put something on credit with the Lord so that in your day when you receive that word or whatever you're going through, you know, and that's such a game changer. Just this shows that Hezekiah knew, you know, all I had to do was, that's my trained response. We see so many times in David's life, first response, I'm going to pray. You talked about Daniel, first response, I'm going to pray. Elijah, you know, can that be your first response? And do you have credit to back it up, you know, to where you can say, Lord, your word says this, and I have followed it, you know, and to see him move like that, that's what we all should aim for.
It's a good way of describing it there. I like that credit. You know, and it's not something that's in the moment, right? It's not like you're told you're going to die and now I'm going to get my act together with all these different things and then, well, God, well, you know, this has been built up for a while, right? He's demonstrated his faithfulness throughout his life to this point. And now, like you said, his credit shows good, you know? So those were the three points that we had tonight, just the recording my lament of the critical aspect of that you are praying, that it's a consistent thing, you have a prayer relationship with the Lord. List my tears, right? Where you see the power of that emotional prayer there. And I said that tonight, and I think it bears repeating, is you're not doing yourself any good by if the circumstances aren't going your way, i.e. in this situation, Hezekiah, where you're dying and you're told you are going to die, right? There's so many things that can only be solved by the Lord, yet we're walking around pouting about it to other people who can't do anything about it,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's almost a projection of lack of faith. If you're walking around moody and depressed and pouting about the circumstances, then you're saying like you don't think that God can change this, or you don't have enough faith that God's gonna maneuver this or bring this for good. You're supposed to be bringing these things to the Lord in prayer and having other people pray about it as well. The power of a prayer partner and unity in agreeing upon things in prayer, where two or three, right, agree upon it in prayer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the list of my tears. And the last thing, are they not on your record, right? Like you said, just the credit, right? Here's the credit that I built. Here's what my resume is looking like, right? And that's your prayer's answer from Psalm 56. We conclude tonight in James chapter 5.
Yeah, so this is James 5, verse 17. It says, Elijah was a man just like us, just like you, just like me. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should bring him back, remember this. Whoever turns a sinner from error or his way will save him from death and cover over a multitude of sins. Just above it, it says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. For the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective.
Yeah, that's what we wrapped on tonight. And I noted in there just, you know, praying for each other, what it says in 1 Samuel 12 about, you know, not sinning against the Lord. Where if you're not praying for others that you're supposed to pray for, you're sinning against the Lord. So again, that just aspect of importance of unity amongst believers and how that really amplifies prayer,
mm-hmm.
right? But it says, you know, prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. And you noted that it said, you know, Elijah was a man just like us. That's such an important verse because you can read the Bible and you can see how God moved through people's prayers. And then you can often think, well, they're, you know, beyond me or better than me or, you know, far beyond me. And James is telling you that Elijah was a man like us who literally just prayed that it would not rain on land for 3.5 years, and that was answered. And again, he prayed and heavens gave rain and the earth produced its crops. So it's like there's nothing too big for the Lord, you know, and that would have been very easy for Hezekiah, who is dying. So his circumstances are saying, you're going to die. And then thus saith the Lord, you are going to die. Right, but God changed his action off of that, purely off of a prayer. So that should encourage everybody listening to this that if you need an answer to prayer tonight and you need something to move in your life, and if there's something that you know for certain that it seems just stuck or nothing's moving on, and only God can move on this, the Lord is looking to move on that, but your role in that is to pray about that, And that prayer relationship with the Lord, and as it says, the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. So if you're by yourself, you could do nothing, right? But with God, all things are possible. Mm-hmm. And if you're looking for a situation to change and circumstances to change and something to move in your life, that's the answer, is your prayer on it. And get other people who pray to pray about it. Which, as I mentioned tonight, because that came up as a question at the end. You know, if it's somebody who actually prays, they're not just going to be like, oh yeah, I'm going to pray about that. Oh, for sure. They're going to ask you details about that. And then they're going to pray about whether they should pray about it. Because they understand the power of prayer. So it's not just some kind of like flippant thing that they're throwing out there. Oh yeah, I'll pray about it. It's something that they take seriously.
Yeah, it's something they revere. And the verse that comes to mind is, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. And the reason I say that is because it's the Lord weighs the heart, right? The Lord sees where your heart's at. And I think if your heart is in the right place, you're naturally going to do these things. These things, you're going to naturally be in integrity with your prayer life. You're going to naturally be in integrity with bringing your emotions and everything in your circumstances to the Lord. You're naturally going to follow the Lord. When we were talking earlier about, you know, just your resume, don't take that as like, oh, I'm just going to do these things so that I can cash it in later with the Lord. It's like, the Lord will say, you're far from me. I don't even know you, right? Keep your heart in check. So if you have a heart for the Lord, David was a man after God's own heart. It's like, these things will happen naturally and fall into place naturally. And it'll just be natural for you to pray. It'll be natural for you to take your emotions and pour them out to the Lord instead of men. It'll be natural for you to follow the Lord's will and follow the Lord's commands. It'll be natural for you to take prayer seriously and pray for others, right? And go to others in prayer. Those things will be natural, in my opinion, if your heart's in the right place. Mm-hmm. It'll set you up well.
Yeah, what I'm referencing there with the two or three, that's from Matthew 18, where Jesus tells them, again, I tell you that if two of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them. So there's real power with prayer that's amplified from that agreement from other believers that are also praying about that. So that's Psalm 56 with that, just that single verse. We're going to build upon that next week and go deeper into the story of Hezekiah, along with everything that came about from this answered prayer from God in his life. Monday Night Pod, Tyler and Fenske.